Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio. And we've got a good friend of mine, Mr. Derek Maltz, retired DEA agent. And he is a person who has been following and been very outspoken about the fentanyl crisis that we've been having in the United States. And unfortunately, not too much attention has been paid to it, but it's a reality, my friends. So I wanted to get him on and chat with him and get his perspective of an update of where we are at, what's been going on, and chat about a couple of other things. But Derek, first of all, welcome to the show. Thank you for taking time to be with us, buddy.
Thank you, George, for all the great work you're doing on the border, man.
Thank you very much. Let's get an update. First of all, tell us about the fentanyl crisis, because a very little bit has been said, in my opinion, by the mainstream media. So people know that there's a problem out there, but they don't know to what extent. Give us an update. Tell us what's been going on the past 4 years.
So, George, number one, and most importantly, that this is the worst drug crisis America has ever faced in the history of the country. That's because of these synthetic opioids that are being made in labs overseas, whether it's in China or Mexico. So our adversaries have figured out a way to destabilize our country using these dangerous substances. But if you look at it from a real world perspective, like in the last 4 years under the Biden administration, there's approximately 250 to 300,000 dead Americans from fentanyl poisoning. If you look at ISIS, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, and you totaled up all the Americans that they have killed, it wouldn't come close to 250,000 just from, you know, fentanyl, right? So we have a major problem. And yes, you're right. The mainstream media, the U.S. government, politicians have been covering this up and haven't been transparent. The only times they want to talk about this is when it's politically advantageous to their campaign. So it's really disgusting. I work with families all around America. I've been doing this over 7 years since I retired from DEA. And we have an army of families that are running around the country doing the government's work because they have failed to even do basic stuff like educating the public on this poisoning crisis.
Now, here in San Antonio, a good friend of mine who is a police detective recently helped to take down a person who was carrying, I believe he said, about 30 pounds of pills that were laced with fentanyl. Why? I mean, what is happening that we're just not paying attention to this? I mean, where is this coming from? Where is this, these pills, where are they being made? And who's responsible for this?
Well, George, it's evolving very quickly. So of course it started all in China in these Communist Party of China labs. The chemicals were coming directly, the fentanyl analogs were coming directly to America. And then they started diverting their operations and started sending mass amounts of precursor chemicals into Mexico so the cartels can make their own pills. So they started making, you know, the vast majority of the pills in Mexico and then shipping them into America like they do all the other drugs, operating with impunity on the border because we've had a wide open border the last 4 years. There's also production of fentanyl being made in China, in Canada, right? We have a large Chinese population in Canada, so they're making them up there. But now the trend is we're seeing a lot of pill mills in America where they're buying the chemicals online, either making these substances in their own houses or buying the finished product and then making the pills in their homes, because they import these pill presses from China, for example, and they're making pills in their own house. So there was one case recently, George, East Haven, Connecticut, the DEA working with multiple agencies seized one pill press that was capable of making 100,000 pills per hour. And these are deadly pills that could be distributed all around the country. So it's overloading us in this country, but we're also now seeing more powerful synthetic opioids like the nitazenes, the etanitazenes, metanitazenes. Carfentanil is becoming very popular. There was just a story that they've seen a 720% increase of carfentanil deaths from the first half of 23 to the first half of 24. What's carfentanil? An elephant tranquilizer. Very, very powerful synthetic opioid that's made also in labs overseas. And so they're attacking us with these chemicals like we've never seen in the history of the country.
What's really insidious to me, what's really, really insidious, is that I have heard situations where, or instances where fentanyl is disguised as candy, as children's candy, or Viagra, or all sorts of pills that are normal out there, or candy. I mean, this, in my opinion, is an actual act to either kill or hook somebody.
100%. It's an act of war. That's clear. It's been going on many years. It didn't start 4 years ago. It started in the Obama-Biden administration. That's when we started seeing massive fentanyl coming into America. When I was running the Special Operations Division, we had emergency meetings with the Department of Justice and others, warning them, Operation Deadly Merchant, on this mass amount of fentanyl coming into America, and other synthetic drugs like K2, spice, and bath salts, which is definitely all over the streets in your area too. I remember in Texas, they were having a big issue with Kush, K2, spice. So anyway, it's been going on a while. Shame on the American government and the officials for not stepping up, but you know, we're making progress. I have a lot of optimism coming January 20th because this president is going to put America first and is going to go after these cartels like we've never seen in the history of the country.
Oh, I sure hope so. Let me change topics real quick here. And let me ask you about, you're a New Yorker, and you, the mayor of New York, Eric Adams, has changed his tune from a sanctuary defending illegal aliens to now he's going to be meeting with Tom Homan, if he hasn't met already, the border czar. What's been going on? What's changed his heart?
Well, look, politics are driving a lot of these latest decisions. Obviously, Mayor Adams, and I applaud his effort to at least, you know, better late than never, as they say. Obviously, you know, New York City is being destroyed by illegal criminals, okay? Not the poor people coming from El Salvador and, you know, Mexico and Honduras that want to get a job. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about Tren de Aragua, MS-13, these violent gangsters, just like President Trump has been saying, that they're expelling them out of their prisons from Venezuela and these other countries so they can come to America and cause havoc. And that's exactly what they're doing. So Tom Homan is going to be meeting with the mayor, and they're going to be talking about getting rid of these top-tier threats, the terrorists, the criminal aliens, the ones that are committing the crimes every day, and getting them back in, you know, into their own countries, deporting them as soon as possible. So it's going to be a very well-organized, very focused deportation operation. But Mayor Adams, I mean, he's seen the light, right? The city is a disaster zone. I don't even like going back to my own city because you can't even walk down the streets worrying about, you know, without something happening. God forbid you want to ride the subway. That's a disaster. Thank God they just acquitted the Marine up there in New York for defending all those American citizens on the subway. But Mayor Adams is seeing the light. He understands. I mean, he was a cop, so he understands, you know, law and order. He should understand it. And so I see some positive developments in New York City. I wish I could say the same for Denver and for Chicago and other sanctuary cities, because these officials just don't see the light.
In New York, you constantly have these groups like Black Lives Matter, like the pro-Palestinians protesting and turning violent, I mean, or advocating violence. Do you see them resisting immigration law enforcement efforts?
You know, those groups are just like, in my view, like domestic terrorists, because, you know, there's no place for violence. You want to protest, you want to express your rights, that's fine, but there's no place for violence, and unfortunately they've gotten away with it, so they're going to continue until they're put in their place. So I do anticipate with the new administration coming in that this stuff's not going to be tolerated. People are going to be going to jail. We're going to reinstate law and order in this country, George, because without law and order, we don't have anything. Doesn't matter how much wealth you have. Doesn't matter how big your family is. If you don't have safety and security, what do you have?
Exactly. Very well said. Derek, we're going to let you go, but thank you very much for taking time to be with us, my man, and sharing some insight with us, as usual. Got to get you
thank
back
you,
on
George.
The show. Got to get you back
Have
on the
great
show.
Have a great day.
You take care. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.